Hey everyone, welcome to the Behind the Scenes podcast. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Audrey.
And on this podcast, we share the messy, honest, unfiltered, and not so curated parts of our life.
Think of this podcast as a bunch of bloopers with some truth bombs sprinkled throughout.
That's right. We're going to be taking you behind the scenes of our daily routines, our social media feeds, and what you may or may not have seen on TV.
We're going to be talking relationships, family, faith, business, basically whatever we are learning about, fighting about, or laughing about lately.
We're going to be sharing our daily life, our struggles, successes, and our roses and thorns from each week.
And we don't want this podcast to just be about us, so we're also going to go behind the scenes with some of the people who inspire us the most.
We hope this podcast feels like you're joining us for a campfire.
Come hang out.
Welcome back, everybody. We have got quite the conversation today. After 14 years, over 300 episodes, and 17 seasons, the time had come. It was about a year and a half ago that I had made the decision that we would do one more season of Little People, Big World, and that would be our last season. It was quite an amazing run. There's so much to say and so much to talk about. But we're going to try to keep on track here and really just talk about the most asked question lately, which is like, why'd you leave? So that's what we're going to tackle today.
Yeah.
I think before we talk about the exodus, if you will, we should probably talk about the genesis, right? Just real quick for those that don't know.
Ball's in your court. I'll let you go with it.
Well, for clarity or just to be proper, why don't you ask me? Hey, Jer.
Okay. Hey, Jer. Tell me about how this show got started and the genesis of it all.
So, yeah, for those that don't know, we're talking about Little People, Big World. It's a show I grew up on. I think it's been 14, 15 years at this point.
You were how old when it started?
I was 13, 14.
When it first started.
When it first started. I think it was March. Wikipedia says it was March 4th, 2006. Which is only 12.
Wikipedia serves your memory better than.
Yeah. Which is only like 12, 13 years ago. But I remember us filming before. I think we must have been filming for a while before the show actually aired, like a year. So, anyways.
You were young.
I was young. Basically, we're an interesting family. Half of us are tall, half of us are small, dwarfs, little people. And that's pretty interesting. My brother, my twin, is a dwarf, and I'm average height. Both my parents are dwarfs, and then my other two siblings are tall, and my dad bought a farm up here in Oregon, right, Roloff Farms, and started building a bunch of crazy stuff. He spent a lot of his childhood in the hospital, and so he vowed to give his kids the childhood that he was only able to read about. So that's kind of how I would explain the situation, and over time...
Well, then you guys started the pumpkin business.
Oh, yeah. So then we started the pumpkin business. And all the while, you know, like we were on Good Morning America. Like Zach and I were born and like we were in newspapers because it was like weird and interesting. You know, like what do you mean tall and small people are twins? Like how does that work? So, you know, we've been in the news since birth. And then I think we were on Oprah twice. And that's kind of when I think that's
before the show.
I think we're once before the show. Okay, that was it. Once before the show, I think it was Oprah that really was like, oh, wow. Then producers in LA were like, who's this family up in Oregon? So then they contacted us. The show started. And that was, 13, 14 years ago.
Yeah. So, well, I remember, I'd never watched the show. Like, I'm from Oregon and grew up here, but like, I just never had really watched the show before we met or anything. And so I remember my first time coming to the farm and like immediately assuming like everything was on the farm because of the show, like the show built those things. So like the most interesting thing to me was finding out that like, no, that's part of the reason
we
why
we have a show because we built these things.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was like wild, you know, like that's just like a crazy.
So like our family dynamics plus the things on the farm both worked really well to create an interesting television show. Mm-hmm. That's survived quite quite a while in the industry. Actually, we just won the Guinness Book of World Record for most episodes ever filmed by a single cast, I think it is.
Better get right.
Yeah, I better get this right. I think I have this pulled up here. We've Guinness Book of World Record for the most episodes ever filmed of a family-focused reality television show.
Hmm.
Yeah. I think we have another one in the works, actually, but
wow.
And it's by quite a bit too. Like nobody's even close.
Yeah. So. Like there's those other reality shows like Survivor and The Bachelor that have been
those are all
forever.
Different cat. Yeah.
But it's like not the same people every year after year.
Yeah. Anyways, that's kind of a neat fact, but yeah, so the show, I mean it really was a fantastic ride. That's a whole conversation of just like how fun it's been and all that, but so the show's been around for quite a while, and it's definitely changed over, you know, the course of its lifetime. It's still going, to be fair. Like, just to clarify, Audrey and I decided to not film anymore, but like the family's still filming. We're still supporting. You know, the show must go on. So they're still doing it.
Yeah, because like I remember you telling me. I mean, my first introduction to it was kind of like the new era of reality TV. And I remember you telling me, like, growing up, it was more like every single day, like the camera crew would come to
your
house.
It was a documentary.
And you would literally put on a mic every single morning, Tuesday to Sunday or whatever.
10 hours a day, yeah.
And just like they would just film your life, like yeah. Watching TV, doing homework, whatever.
Yeah, because it was actually kind of the beginning of reality TV. The way I heard it was like there was a writer strike in LA, all the writers left, and people needed to film something. So then they're going around America looking for interesting people. We were one of those interesting families, and reality TV was born. Essentially, that's kind of the short, messy, not accurate version of how I understand it all happening. But it started out, you know, a story about our family, really. And I think one thing in recent years that's kind of been difficult for a lot of us, you know, in the family is we're no longer like one, we're one family as far as like a name goes, but we're five families now, right? Mm-hmm. There's Audrey and I, like we're our own family.
Mm-hmm.
Zach and Tori, you know, Molly, Joel, my mom, my dad, Jacob.
Yeah. Yeah.
And essentially it's a family business, right? And so, I don't know, it got kind of difficult navigating all the relationships and stuff.
And then like the nature of reality TV change, right? Because there's just all these new shows popping up. Like now, like reality TV is half of TV, you know?
And you got to like compete with like the Honey Boo Boos and of the world. And it's just like, holy, like how crazy, you know, do you need to get? Thankfully for us, we've got awesome fans and they've stuck with the show for a long time, you know? Mm-hmm. So we've been able to survive without losing ourselves and getting too crazy. But I think
parents, I would say, also fought for that too.
Yeah, my parents did a great job fighting for that.
Well, I think, I mean, you have told me before too, just like that it was like when it changed so much because of the whole like reality TV just kind of started like booming and taking off and all these other shows were like popping up, then they all had to like compete with each other, and then like just the dynamic of the show changed for you guys because now you guys, it wasn't in the budget for people to just sit in your living room and film you all day long, you know, like film crews
we needed to be
that,
a little bit more structured, you know? And so we like, okay, like, you know,
so that changed some things, right?
That definitely changed some things. And unlike a lot of shows, like even like Chip and Joe left, Fixer Upper, you know, but like Fixer Upper was a reality show about their work, about their job, their family, their dynamic, their kids. Like those were just kind of like add-ons to the back line. Yeah, their B stories to the A story, which was their business, flipping houses. For us, our A line has just been our family. You know what I mean? It's like the relationships. So like that's where all of our energy had to pour into, and that kind of made it, you know, different. Anyways, it got to the point where Audrey and I were kind of like, you know what? How much longer do we want to be doing this? And now we've got Ember. You know, do we want her to grow up on television? And a lot of people ask me if I enjoyed it, if it was worth it. And I always say like, yeah, I would do it all over again. And I think that in one sentence sums up my feelings for it. Like, totally, I would do it over again. But that being said, there are seasons for things, you know, and 15 years is a long season.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's also a difference of being like, I don't know, it got really comfortable, and being comfortable, I just keep, I read the book Driven by Eternity by John Bevere, and it got me thinking about eternity a lot, and being comfortable compared to being called, you know, and a lot of Americans specifically, like, we live our lives like by comfortability. That's all we want to do is be comfortable, be comfortable. We do everything to be as comfortable as we possibly can. And we look less to where we're called. And so I was kind of wrestling with that for, I don't know, over a year. Just
more
this,
than
like,
that.
More than that, 2 years. This aching in my heart of like...
I mean, really, since our wedding.
Since our wedding, yeah.
Because
yeah.
that was like a...
It's been 4 years, yeah.
I mean, like, really and truly, like, I mean, we almost didn't film our wedding, and that was...
Yep, that's
we
a good point.
You
we
almost made the decision to stop then.
Yeah.
Five years ago, so...
Totally. But then we decided to keep going. It'd be, you know, a good opportunity, this and that. But anyways, all that to be said, I've been wrestling in my heart with this, like... You know, what am I called to, right? Am I called to my current circumstances and situation, or is the Lord calling me to a different set of circumstances that might not necessarily be defined as success according to the world, right? God's kingdom typically looks backwards to the world, right? What's up is down, left is right. The highest are actually the lowest. The lowest is the highest. The world's wisdom is foolishness, you know. Everything just seems backwards. And so when I was kind of making this decision, we were in Bend. When I was making it for the second time, because our wedding, yeah, was the first time, we decided to keep doing it. And then in Bend, I had a lot of mentors. I still have them as mentors, and just some really good, godly, wise men around me. And we were just talking about it a lot, the decision to leave the show. And
For years.
And it became clearer, the more we talked, that yes, it's just time to leave. And ultimately, I just wasn't trusting that the Lord was going to like provide. And it's such a silly, I just realized now looking in hindsight, like how silly it was. Like the Lord's provided for, you know, it meant more than I could have ever dreamt of, really.
Yeah.
And so to think that he's not going to do the same thing if I make a hard decision and leave the show.
Yeah, it's like the his
foolish.
Past faithfulness demands our present trust thing.
Totally. You know? So anyways, all of this stuff, I was wrestling with it in my heart. Like, what am I called to? Like, do I want to be comfortable, or do I want to pursue my calling? Yeah, I love that, babe. His past faithfulness demands my present trust. And just the sense of adventure. Like, golly, I want to step out and do something and build something for me.
Right.
You know,
and feel the freedom to do that.
Yeah. And then also, like, Aj and I started like pursuing, you know, I like to call it millennial entrepreneurship, which is basically monetizing the internet or just getting out on the internet. And it's the wild, wild west. And I don't think a lot of people realize how powerful it is. And so we just wanted to press in. And I was having like thoughts and dreams about, you know, just doing that. And I wasn't really able to on the show, just, you know, not just from like a contractual point, but it was just a different job. People leave jobs to do other jobs all the time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it was time for me to do that.
Yeah. It's good. Do you want, I mean, I know you had some questions that people asked you.
Yeah. I put on my Instagram stories a thing like, hey, ask me some questions. And so we've compiled some of those here, and I think I'm just going to ask a couple.
I'm going to be you guys, the listeners, asking the questions, since this episode is obviously a little bit more of the Jeremy show. So here we go. Okay. So first question is, did you get paid to be on the show?
I mean, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was a job.
It was
right?
a job, yeah.
So, yeah. Did the show really take that much time?
Yeah, so in the beginning, of course, but we were kids. We didn't know any better. But the show was, you know, we filmed 6 days a week, 10 hours a day for years. Like, it was pretty intensive. But more specifically, like, recently, you know, I mean... So it was kind of like seasons. Like, there'd be a week where it was heavy, then we wouldn't film for 2-3 weeks, you know what I mean? But I think more than the physical time is kind of the mental time. There's a lot of mental energy that people underestimate that goes into like filming and being on TV. There's like
emotional.
Emotionally, you're all in, you're invested all the time.
And you're on call. I think that's a...
Yeah.
It's an on call. I mean, we never knew what we were filming the week, but we never knew when we were filming until 2 days before. You know, like how many times did we have to drive up from LA to go film something the day before or up from Bend?
Mentally and emotionally, it does take...
It was time consuming.
It took a lot of time. Yeah.
For sure. Okay. Did you feel like the show limited how much you could share about your faith?
Yeah. I remember reading this or seeing this asked a couple times. So I don't think nothing limits or limited me in expressing my faith. But I will say, you know, I think that you don't need to look past your nose to see that the world is definitely in opposition to the Word of God. And so, you know, you do have, no matter what I say or what anyone says as a believer, you know, there's going to be at some point some pushback, right? Inevitably. So nothing really inhibited me, but there were, I mean, you definitely say things on television or, you know, even on social media, and either A, people, you know, you can never control how they're going to be perceived or, you know, requoted or whatever it is. So, you know, I don't really think that the point of the show was our faith. So of course, you know, we might've said stuff about faith, but it didn't show up or it was kind of out of context or whatever. And that's just to be expected, but no, there's no like sense of limiting it. I mean, that would just be me and my fear, right? So like, if you don't talk about your faith for fear of being thought a certain way or looked at differently or weird, you know, that's on you. That's not on nobody's inhibiting you from talking about your faith. In the same way, like I can talk about my faith on the television all I wanted. Sure, someone might come up and be like, hey, you know, like that's hurting our ratings, like tone down a little bit. And like, okay, but you know, at the end of the day, that's on me. But that's just my little quick thought on that.
But also, I mean, your family, especially from the beginning, like did share their faith, and that was something that gravitated a lot of people to the show. And then there's elements of the show that did have your faith in it.
Yeah, totally. There was in the beginning. Right now, babe, like I just, the thought came to me like Justin Bieber. It's interesting. I haven't seen or heard of him in the news ever since he started sharing about his faith, like openly, you know?
Well, I think he also, like, what kind of news would you... You don't really follow that kind of news anyways to, like, see him.
But he still comes up in, like, CNN. Maybe, like, politics is flushing everyone. Yeah, he just got engaged. That's the last thing I saw.
Okay.
But it's just interesting. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But also, like, I mean, I will speak to that answer or just say something about that really quick. And that is, like, I also think that, you know, although it was limiting at times... or we would say things about our faith oftentimes that would never be in episodes, which is fine. But our wedding day, like we shared our faith in like so many different details and ways. And I think so many people got to see that. And that was really cool and encouraging. So although it was limiting at times, it was also like amazing for us to be able to like have this opportunity to like share the gospel with people through our lives, you know?
Yeah.
So, okay. Will you still be on the show occasionally?
Yeah. So I like to say, you know, we quit filming, but we didn't quit our family, you know? So like, yeah, like Jackson's first birthday party, we're not going to not go because they're filming, you know? Yeah. So we're going to show up and support the family and do all that. So yeah, we'll be peeking in every now and then.
Mm-hmm. Will you have your own TV or radio show someday?
You're listening to it. No, in all seriousness, though, I just think probably, oh, who knows? You know, like who knows what the future has? Like I said, we didn't quit TV. We just quit the current, you know, job we were working on. Mm. So who knows what the future, you know, has in store. But I do think that there's a massive shift going on right now in media. And a lot of the big companies are trying to scramble to figure out like what this is and what's going on. And social media is basically the wrecking ball of traditional television and TV. And it has come in.
Or YouTube or whatever.
Yeah, YouTube. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's just amazing how powerful it is. And I think a lot of companies are failing to recognize the value of their talent, right? Like a lot of companies still think like they have the power and the control when they don't. It's the talent because it's social mm-hmm. media. People follow people. They don't follow networks and and shows and stuff, right? So so just to wrap that kind of scattered thought up, you know, I just think the industry is changing a lot. And whether or not I would go back to traditional TV, you know, like I can't really answer that. That's to be decided, you know, down the line. But I will say right now, I'm excited to press into kind of this wild, wild west of a market right now as the wrecking ball of social media has come in. You know, it's just exciting to see how the industry is changing. And so I'm excited to press into the business opportunities there, but it's just changing a lot. And I think traditional TV is changing a lot. And I mean, just look at the metrics, look at the numbers, look at stocks, and that says a lot about what's going on right now.
And I think one thing too that I've heard you say, and correct me if I'm saying this wrong, but like you've often said, like, you know, like the show, your family's show, if it was a show about like something that you do or a skill that you have, you might be more into that. Like if you had a show about building tree houses, but you shared a little bit of your life and our family on the building tree houses show, you'd be more into that.
Totally.
You know, kind of like the Chip and Joanna Gaines on Magnolia, whatever. Like,
totally.
You've said things like that to me before, but then when the show became, you know,
well, it's always been about when it has to be about like our relationship.
Yeah, and like what you think about your parents' divorce.
What my wife and I fought about. It's just like, I don't need to be sharing that with the world.
Through that medium.
Through that medium. Yeah. Because I don't have control over it, you know. Mm-hmm. But it didn't really answer the question. To answer the question, I guess more specifically, you know, like podcasting. That's kind of the new radio. Podcasting mm-hmm. is huge right now.
Yeah.
And you get to like get intimate with your audience, and your audience gets to get intimate with you, and you get to like really talk about stuff. So it's like, it's awesome. It's the new radio. YouTube's the new reality TV. I follow like three families on YouTube, and that's my like TV, I guess you could call it. I can't remember the last time I've actually turned on TV.
Yeah.
I never. Really, really can't. Never. Yeah. I mean, it's literally been years. So social media is just super powerful. To be honest, it was really great, but I do think kind of a hard part was just, maybe it was just the invasiveness and just having to like bring other people into the sphere, you know, and just having to navigate relationships and also, you know, ultimately they want as much as they can get. And, you know, there's some things about Audrey's and my relationship we want to keep personal and private, you know, for health reasons, right? Like there's things we just shouldn't share, and it's not like we had to, but just there's always this like pressure to, you know, share as much as we can, and that was kind of hard. I think
too, something that was hard was for you, and again, sorry if I'm speaking out of place, but like getting me to understand the dynamic of the show was probably
you hard. Did really, really good.
I mean, like,
but
I would ask, I would just like not get it. I just didn't understand. I was frustrated or confused, or like, you know, in particular circumstances more than others. But like that was hard, and you worked really hard to just like fight for our relationship and our marriage and the health of our family.
Yeah.
In spite of just like the difficulties that came with like sharing your life in such a public way and me not being used to that. And like you know, totally. Like kind of guiding me in that. I think that was hard, but I think you did a really good job.
Yeah.
But I would say that, I don't know if that's the hardest part, but I just wanted to mention, like, I think that was something that I remember being.
Yeah, that's good, babe. That actually leads really well into the next question, which is, do you think that being on TV has affected or does affect your relationship and relationships? And, you know, I just think relationships are meant to be handled in a certain way and talked about and discussed in a certain way. And when you're kind of exploiting your relationship, no matter how carefully on national television, there's just some ramifications that comes from that. You got to be careful, right? I don't think anyone would deny that, you know, it's kind of dangerous to you know, handle your relationship on national television, right? And it's just because there's pressure there and there's people and people don't have context. And then next thing you know, on social media, people might be saying something and they're completely wrong, but they only saw a 10-second clip of something. But you might be swayed by what they're saying, even though what they're saying isn't based in any actuality. So there's just a lot of, this is a huge discussion in and of itself, but there's a lot of dynamics that goes into it. But ultimately, just to keep it short and sweet, I just think it's dangerous. I think TV is dangerous for relationships. I guess that would be the short of it. And I also think, like, you know, just look at statistics, right? Like people that are on TV statistically don't fare very well. I'm not saying it doesn't work, but it just, there's a lot of stats out there, right? And I think they provide an answer that a lot of us maybe don't want to see. But anyways, it can just be dangerous. And I think we should just be careful. And, you know, I think Audra and I are trying to do that. Be really careful.
Why would you walk? Someone asks, why would you walk away from TV? It seemed like it was a pretty good gig.
Yeah, it totally was. It totally is a good gig. But I think that goes back to what I was saying earlier about, you know, being comfortable versus being called. I think a lot of people settle for what's comfortable and they sacrifice what they're called to. And I just didn't feel like my calling was to be on this, you know, it wasn't to be on a reality TV show. It's been the amazing opportunity, super great gig, if you will. But at the end of the day, like when I meet the Lord face to face, I want him to say, thank you for pursuing what I made you to do. Thanks for pursuing your calling. Welcome home, good and faithful servant. Instead of like him saying, I'm so glad you just stayed, you were comfortable and didn't sacrifice anything. It's the parable of the talents, right? Are you going to bury what I gave you in safety and fear of losing something? Or are you going to go out and multiply it and do what I created you for? Or what I gave you, use what I gave you, right? Mm-hmm. And the show gave me a ton of tools, an awesome tool belt. But at some point, you got to go build the house, you know? And I wasn't going to just sit there when I felt in my heart it was time to go do something else.
And I think, the show definitely gave us certain freedoms in some sense, like you and me, you know, in the past few years of our lives doing it together, like it's offered certain freedoms and it's been such a blessing. And, but I also think like since leaving, it's been like one of the most freeing things and we've found so much freedom in that decision, wouldn't you say? And
totally.
Like, just really feeling, like you said, like saying yes to like what you felt the Lord calling you to do and like the freedom that you felt from like walking in that obedience. And
yeah, I think a lot of people ignore the whispers of the Lord through fear, you know, and they feel it, they hear him, but just the smallest sense of fear keeps them from doing it. And it did for me for a few years, you know, I'm not saying I evaded that fear, you know, like I said, I stayed in. I made the decision to leave like twice before I actually did. So,
yeah.
Talk a little bit more about freedom, babe.
Yeah. I mean,
because I think that's a good point to make is like, because a lot of people have said, you know, like, why would you ever do that? It gave you so much freedom, you know? And I think we can relate to that, you know, the decision to leave to a lot of other things.
Well, I mean, I know, not to like focus on the critiques because I don't want to like put too much emphasis on that, but like we did get like, I remember push, you know, like we've talked about this before, I think even an episode on this podcast about like the pushback that we've gotten from, you know, when we got married, people would just be like, oh, Jeremy, like prepare to lose your freedom, you know? And then like when we found out we were pregnant and then had Ember, people would be like, oh, you guys like get ready to no longer have a life, like prepare to lose your freedom. And then when we said we were leaving the show, people were like, oh, like, you guys are going to lose a lot of freedoms that you have, you know, like, I feel like there's this like kind of like warped perception, like misinterpreted, skewed of like what freedom is, because like for us, getting married, having a baby, leaving the show have been some of the most freeing things that we've ever done. And even though they've been things that like, yes, of course we had fears about them. We felt unequipped or unqualified, like absolutely. But, you know, those decisions and those things have been like not restricting or inhibiting. They've been like liberating totally. And redeeming and empowering and so amazing. And so
totally.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think at its core, it's just we have a deep desire to press into what we were created for and our calling. And if when you, Jesus says his burden is light and his yoke is easy. And I think if you're following him or doing your best to press into where you feel he's leading you, you know, you're going to find freedom. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, no matter where you are, Paul found freedom in prison and he actually rejoiced in it simply mm-hmm. because that's where the Lord had him. And he just believed that with all his heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just an interesting thought on that. But
totally.
In short, I guess to wrap kind of this whole thing up, it was a difficult decision to leave, but it's just what I felt I was supposed to do. The Lord just pressed on my heart like, hey, I've equipped you pretty well. It's time to go use the tools I've given you. Like, let's go do something, you know? And I really wanted to press into, you know, my calling rather than comfort.
Mm, yeah. And I like, you know, I think that like some of these questions have been kind of like serious and
yeah,
but I think like we're so excited for what this means for us, right?
Totally.
Like
yeah. It's almost like when you do something you know you're supposed to do, there's a liberation that comes with it, right? And this isn't to say anything was oppressive by any means, but like there's just this sense of like I don't know, new horizons. Like we did it. Like we made that decision and we're just affirmed with peace. The Lord affirms in peace. You know what I mean? All right. Roses and thorns.
Yes, babe. What's your rose for the week?
My rose would be the triple double date going out with the Muellers and Zach and Tori for dinner.
Oh yeah.
Date night, babysitter. So that was super fun.
Our first time, all six of us going out without babies in like years.
Yeah.
It's super fun.
We should do that more.
Yeah, that was fun. I second that rose.
What's your rose?
My rose was the success of just launching new stuff in Always More and just like seeing everyone get their Sherpas and seeing everyone get their like rose hoodies.
Tattoos.
And like two different people got tattoos of Always More on their arms this week, which was crazy. That's always just like mind-blowing to me. And like reading how people, like how those words have like take shape and form in other people's lives and how they've inspired them or challenged them.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's just always like super encouraging. So just the whole Always More movement, I feel like has just been really fun this week to see just like booming. And so that's my rose.
That's a good one.
What's your thorn?
My thorn would probably be the, I don't know, I struggled to wake up twice this week, or actually three times this week. I got out of bed, went downstairs, and I sat on the couch, and I didn't go to the gym or go for my walk. And I just didn't get my blood going, and I've been in such a good rhythm of doing that, that when I don't do it, I actually feel like, I don't know, like, bad. I feel like groggy and just like, ugh. It's like my first decision of the day, you know, I didn't capitalize on. And for me lately, that's been a bummer. It's been kind of like a I don't know. So that's my
downer.
Yeah. What's your thorn?
I would just say like, I hate to say this because it's so cliche, but just like stress this week has just been with the rows of like the shop and like the launch and stuff, like, but that's been like so good, but also just like it's stressful. And there's just been a lot this week with like our book deadlines and podcast and Always More and beating 50 and just all of that.
Yeah.
There's just been a lot going on. And then remember when I took that driving, I had to take that driving class to like get the ticket off my record or whatever. So I took this driving class. And it's like a safety whatever thing. And they make you take this stress test where you like answer all these questions. And remember, I took that test and it was like, it was like all these questions are like, have you had a baby in the past year?
It said it maxed out the stress meter at what, 300?
It was like, it was like your stress level is like 100 to 150, 150 to 250 or 300 or more. And my score was like, 450 or something stupid crazy. And yeah. I was like, A, super discouraged by that. And also like, what the heck? These questions aren't even like, they're literally like, did you have a home renovation? Did you move? You know, did you have a baby? Did you like all these things? And I was just like, wait, like, so that was kind of just like discouraging. And I just hate feeling that like unrest feeling and just like overwhelmed and stressed. And then I get like,
it's a season, you know, I think
I get down on myself because I'm like, I shouldn't be thinking this way.
And there's the season. Yeah. Yeah.
But
rhythms will help that. It's what we've been working on.
Yeah, totally.
All right, you guys, thanks for listening to this episode. I hope that shed a little light on the decision. We'll probably be talking about it a little bit more in the future if we need to. But until next time, have a good week.